better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Going to make it as Christmas-themed as possible when it comes to What's Your Beef. We'll see how that goes. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time, but it can also draw out the frustrations of many, if that's the case. So we'll have some fun with that as the show goes on. Also, Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com is going to be joining us at 8 a.m. to talk a lot about this early signing period. And if there needs to be any changes made to it for college football just in general, because Arkansas sure has not benefited much from it. But I brought up a point as we were closing out the past segment, and I kind of said it half jokingly, but honestly, it might be more serious, that Razorback fans actually care more about who the offensive coordinator is going to be than this early signing period class at all. And so do we need to just chalk this up? This recruiting class is going to be a wash? Or
it's another lost class. I mean,
no matter what Sam Pittman does?
Now, that's not entirely true, but again, if you're of the belief, and I am, that 70% of the college football athletes, and I think it's more like 90% of the kids you would want, are going to sign today with somebody. There's just not a lot to... You can go get the best ones available between December 20th and in February, whatever the day is in February. But you're in the grocery store after Garrett Lewis has already been on TV for days telling you the snow and ice is coming. And now you're getting there. There's no loaves of bread left. There's only hot dog buns. And you're down to nothing but half gallons of skim milk. I mean, that's where you're at. So you're eating hot dog buns and skim milk. That's it. That's all that's on the shelves.
Doesn't sound very appealing.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what February recruiting's turned into.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the perception. There's just not, you know. Now, Sam was on with us earlier this week, and Coach said that 70% of the kids signed. But here's my question. Of the kids you really want, particularly at the SEC level, how many of those signed? Yeah, 30% may still sign scholarships. How many of the four-star guys out there, forget the five stars, just the good three- and four-star players, how many of them didn't sign? What percentage of that?
That seems, I don't know the numbers.
Because if you're not just a bona fide top-end, you know, ESPN top 100, all this stuff. Schools aren't Alabama isn't holding a spot for you if that's where you want to go. Or LSU, they're going to fill their spots up today. And if you're not willing to sign, you want to wait till February, fine. They're going to move on, find another four-star to take your spot.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that wanted in but couldn't get in. I mean, it's just no way to bank, hey, this is not going to be the class that turns it around at Arkansas. I mean, if you want to get down to it and be fair, Chad Morris really had one recruiting class here. And they got some kids.
It was a good one.
You know. But, you know, the one thing that does help you, though, that counters this early signing period, transfer portal. You can go get you a graduate transfer, make them immediately available. Kids that just aren't finding playing time, aren't satisfied where they're at, may have to sit a year, but they can come, play. So you got other ways to get players into your program besides just the traditional recruiting route. And they're going to have to hit the JUCOs up. I mean, that's the other thing is just finding some bodies that fit what they need over the next couple of months in the JUCO ranks. So you go back, nobody was recruiting in 2012 when that whole staff got fired. Bielema's first year, it was tough because he came in late. Now you've had two of the last three, counting this one. With Morris's first year in this one, was just lost causes, man.
Well, and another thing that I'll add into, and this is just something that cannot be helped. This is just bad timing. The class that Chad Morris had in his first year, which we know was, as you say, in a wash, and then this year, this upcoming year for Sam Pittman, both coaches in the first year. The other thing that I feel like that really hurt them as well, in addition to the early signing period, is the lack of in-state talent of that upcoming class. Mm-hmm.
one of the things that really helped Bobby Petrino in his first class, he had Tyler Wilson, and he had Joe Adams. And
Jarius Wright, Greg Childs.
You know, just keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
All in-state kids.
And even Brett Bielema had a few. You know, he had a guy like a Hunter Henry. You know, that was a big-time player, and a few others. But if I'm just looking back at 2018 in the recruiting class that Arkansas had that year in Chad Morris's first season. And this is the Arkansas had 2 4-star players in the state of Arkansas that year.
Mm-hmm.
Two. One was Gary Bohannon, who went to Baylor, and the other one was Connor Noland.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even on the team anymore playing baseball. That was it. After that, you had Sean Michael Flanagan, went to Oklahoma State as a 3-star. Luke Jones went to Notre Dame. Now he's back at Arkansas. So, you know, well, look at it there. But then it goes Billy Farrell, Ladarius Bishop, and then the list goes on and on. So my point is that not all, if you had a, I believe, if you had a great influx of talent in these early in these years in 2018 or in 2020, it would have also been a lot easier for those coaches to come in at those times to be able to help out at least a little bit.
We discussed this when the early signing period for basketball occurred back in November, and there's more 4-star players in basketball in this state than 4-star football players right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's not ideal and to have a program.
Do you think
in the
that
SEC.
Helped Hunter Yurecek in his search for hiring the next head coach? Clearly, it didn't. I mean, if you think coaching candidates out there aren't looking at current roster and current prospects and what's in this state, what's on the horizon, well, of course they are. You're naive if you think they're not looking at those things. It's what makes the basketball job right now, at least, very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Why Eric Musselman is crushing it.
Exactly right. And I'm just looking at, you know, the 2020 class for the in-state kids. You have Blaine Toll, who's going to sign.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jashad Stewart, who's going to sign. Looks like Cottrell Wallace is going to sign as well. And that's it. I mean, right now, according to, and again, this is just, I get the timing, so it's not going to stay this way. But right now, you have the 14th ranked class in the SEC, dead last. And nationally, you are 123rd.
God almighty.
123rd. And again, that's no one's, that's not Sam Pittman's fault. Like, it's just the cards you've been dealt.
We still got to give that guy $10 million.
Yep. But again, if you go back and look at the in-state talent, Tommy, you got 2 4-star kids once again. And one of them is Jacoby Criswell, who's going to North Carolina. And the other one is Chris Morris out of West Memphis, is going to A&M. And that's it. Those are the only 4 stars you have in the entire state of Arkansas in this upcoming class.
Yeah. You lost all the kids from Texas when you
got
rid of Morris and then Traylor. I mean, your only hope of keeping them was if Jeff Traylor stayed at Arkansas.
Yeah. But
and you were going to lose most of them anyway.
But again, it's just another bad deal for Sam Pittman in Arkansas and another crucial recruiting class. And the only hope that you can have is that these 2 recruiting classes, 2 out of the last 3 that have been washes, then maybe you can find some diamonds in the rough. Or you hit that transfer portal and you just start picking them out of there and hoping that they can get you help immediately.
John, they're in the transfer portal for a reason. Now, you can say, well, Tommy, the last 3 Heisman Trophy winners are transfers. I got you. But there's a reason most of these kids are in the transfer portal. Because they couldn't get on the field where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few diamonds in the rough that have to go from one school to the next to find the right place in order to have a chance to win a Heisman. We're not needing Heisman Trophy winners here. We're just needing some solid SEC football players. We'd take a Heisman Trophy winner. But
I think we would.
But that's not, you know. Those are exceptions, not the rule, in the transfer portal. My point is there is a reason they're in the transfer portal, and it's generally because they couldn't earn the starting job where they're at. They become disgruntled and leave. Is that fair? Is that a fair take?
Yeah.
And not every kid on the transfer portal gets taken.
Yeah. And I understand that, but that's what you're hoping to at least find, whether it's for depth, whether it's for just maybe somebody in the transfer portal who couldn't get on the field at their school is better than the people that you have been putting on the field at your school at Arkansas. You know, could there be an offensive lineman that couldn't see the field at some other SEC school, and he can at Arkansas?
And unless they're a graduate transfer, they can't help you right away. Because just because you go into the transfer portal doesn't exclude you from sitting for a year to be eligible if you haven't graduated yet.
Yeah. Unless you have
unless you get some waiver, it's very rare that you're going to be able to just get someone off the portal and they come in and help you right away in the 2020 season.
These are the things that you're going up against right now. I mean, these are the things if you're Sam Pittman, you're having to work against. Every other school is ahead of the eight ball, not only in recruiting, but in a program in general. I mean, this is going to be a project, and no one wants to hear it, and it feels like we've been hearing that's going to be a project for years now, but it can't be fixed overnight. My only hope, and this is just a hope, and that's all it is, my only hope is that, hey, maybe with the right coach at a few of these spots on the current roster, maybe good coaching can make the difference. Maybe this offensive line has some talent, has some SEC caliber guys if they're just coached the right way. That's what I'm hoping for. Because I know it's different sports, but that's been the biggest change of this basketball team with Eric Musselman. A little coaching, a little planning, a little here and there, a little adjustments makes all the difference. Maybe, just maybe, some of these players can be difference makers if they just get the right coaching to do so.
You hope in one hand and do something else in the other.
That's why I was saying it's a hope and only a hope.
See which one fills up faster.
All right. We all know the answer to that.
Hey, are you tired of your noisy neighbors? Looking to upgrade your apartment? If you're looking for a new duplex or townhome to live in, whether it's Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, Hot Springs, Central Arkansas, Trinity Multifamily manages thousands of units in communities near you. If you're looking for a new place to call home, make Trinity Multifamily your first call. 479-452-1817. That's 452-1817. Or search online at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily, your teammate in the real estate game.
It's a good text message from the 870. It says, early signing period for a school in transition feels like self-imposed NCAA sanctions.
It's like the death penalty, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're being punished and you're having to deal with it by firing a coach or a coach leaving or whatever.
This is why coaches will always be opposed to moving. This is one of the reasons why coaches would be opposed to moving the early signing period to anywhere else. This is another layer of job security. Because ADs understand, man, if it's marginal, if it's 50-50 call on should he stay or go, this is another reason to keep your coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is.
It is.
Now, Chad Morris wasn't a 50-50 call. That was an easy gots
about
to go.
Say, that one.
But if you
didn't
go
matter.
Back, if we go back in time, if we could get in the DeLorean and go back to 2017, knowing what you know now, knowing the early signing period, knowing everything, would you have still knowing you didn't have a real AD, knowing all of these, would you have still ran Bielema out?
No. If you knowing now what you knew, or
yeah.
knowing then what you knew now.
You'd have went through another year of it, got Hunter Juracek, presuming he still gets the job, get him in here, and then let him go to work.
Yeah. Let him get a year under his
Imagine
legs.
Imagine what position you would be in now, and you would have suffered through the embarrassment of two-win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe.
No.
Because Bielema, for all of his shortcomings, wasn't going to go 2-10.
Not, and especially since that was his guys with his roster, assuming they would have kept on the same. I agree with you. But because hindsight's 2020,
you,
man.
Exactly. You know, you fired Bielem with no AD, and then you had we got an early signing period? Oh. And a coach that's never been at the Power 5 level? Oh. For all the things that Morris did wrong, his recruiting plan was solid. He was getting players, and he was getting them out of Texas where we needed them. But
Couldn't do anything with them. And that is the ultimate issue. I mean, there's a lot of coaches that can recruit at a high level.
That's a great way of describing when you go through a coaching transition and the early signing period feels like self-imposed sanctions. And I think that when they have these meetings and schools vote and decide on whether or not you want to change the early signing period, this is another layer of job security for coaches. Mr. AD, if you fire me now, you're going to lose a recruiting class. That's a big bullet to bite if you're the AD.
and I know we're going to talk about it, though, Tommy, but again, it just doesn't make sense to me how an early signing period of, what, 2 months is really making the difference?
Again, if it was about the 460 student-athletes.
Yeah.
Or in this case, the 85 scholarship-athletes.
Which it's not.
You would put it in August. The whole sport would come together and say, let's do what's best for the high school senior. Because an early signing period for them would be in August, prior to the start of their season. Not during their season, and certainly not weeks after their season's closed.
Yeah, it would make sense. But unfortunately, sometimes things don't make sense in college football. They don't benefit the right people, but man, it would be nice if Arkansas did not have to deal with this early signing period over the past few years.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We got to go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Lisa's in Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Miss Lisa?
Well, I'm getting ready to go into Jonesboro to watch Rashad Stewart sign with the Razorbacks at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
Yes, I'm going to be there. He reached out and asked if anybody could come. He would appreciate it. So I'm going to be one of them that's going to be there, and I'll send y'all some pictures. But, Randy, I want to add this to this, and I don't think he would care. Randy Coleman, who is the coach at Jonesboro, football coach at Jonesboro High School, was elated when Sam Pittman was hired. He's a big Hog fan. Randy is. And he said, of everybody, now this was his opinion, and it's, I think it's mine too. He said, of his opinion, everybody that Arkansas supposedly was looking at, he was the best candidate. And I agree with you, John. I think he's going to be at Arkansas along. I sound like I'm drunk, but I'm not yet. But anyway, I think he's going to be at Arkansas a long time. I think we're looking at a guy that one of these days will be sitting in the line with Ken Hatfield and some of those signing autographs. What you think?
No, I do too. And I feel like if he does a great job, which he very well may. There's going to be a lot of places, of course, coming and offering him a job, and his name's going to get thrown around a lot. And I don't think he's going to do it. He just seems like the type of coach that this is what he's always wanted, and if he can be successful here and build it into something, he'll stick with it, and he'll stay here at Arkansas. And, you know, I get a little frustrated with some people when they always think, like, this is a stepping stone job no matter the sport.
Me too.
Because I'm telling you, Miss Lisa, there has not been many coaches in the history of Arkansas sports, and I'm not talking about just football, in sports, that have moved on to a, quote, better job from Arkansas. They've either stayed, they've gotten fired, there was a mutual departing, whatever it is. The only coach you could really make that claim for, possibly, would be when Eddie Sutton left for Kentucky, said he would crawl to Lexington. Mm-hmm. At the time,
yeah.
Kentucky was for sure a better job than Arkansas. But still, that's one of very many different examples that are not the case. And so I don't ever understand why people think it's just for sure a stepping stone job when in history has proven that it's not necessarily the case.
Well, it's not. And I'm sure I'm sure that if Eddie Sutton had that statement to take back, he would take it back.
Oh, yeah.
Because That was a mistake on Eddie's part. But anyway, we've all made them, so there you go. But no, I don't think Arkansas is a stepping stone job. And you've got the whole state behind you, basically. You've got, you know, just, my goodness. I know other schools have good facilities, but we're right up there at the top with them. And don't tell me we're not. Now I'm getting mad. Don't tell me we're not, because I've been to all of them. I know. There, with the exception of two, I've been to all of them. And when I get there, I'm a little always disappointed. I'm thinking, you know, I thought this was supposed to be the Holy Grail, and it's not. So, but I wanted y'all to know, and I'm sure Randy Coleman would love for y'all to call him and get him on after this signing, maybe in the next few days. Yes, I'm trying to tell you how to run your show, if that's what you're thinking. And,
okay,
I appreciate y'all so much for letting me rattle. But anyway, I'm getting ready to go. I'm excited. And I'm excited for this kid because they interviewed him here right after Sam Pittman was hired. And he was giggly, but he was about to cry. He was so excited that Sam Pittman was hired. And that made me feel good. Because this kid, you know, Sam Pittman landed in Jonesboro, and that was the first kid he went to. And I can't wait to just hug him up today. I'm not going to let him go for about 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Well, that's the way I do them.
Do it,
Scotty Thurman.
Do it after he signed, all right?
Well,
I don't want you to hurt anything, then he can't sign, you know.
Hey, listen. When you're 61, if you can hug them before they sign or after, you do what you got to do. Talk to y'all later. See you Christmas Day, Tommy.
All right, come on.
Okay, I'll be there.
All right. Thank you, Miss Lisa. It's hard to know whether or not she's ever kidding.
I know.
Yeah, when she's
the doorbell rings.
Here's the thing. When she's talking about hugging recruits.
She means it.
And I don't think it's one of these side hugs either. You're talking about bear hugs. Yep. So, yeah, just go easy on them, Miss Lisa. But always appreciate you calling. And that's right. All right, let's go ahead and jump into what's your beef Wednesday?
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is What's Your Beef Wednesday, brought to you by Joe's Grill and Cantina.
Well, we don't have a Hawk game on TV this week.
Unfortunately.
So we don't have a half-price apps and taps, but Wednesdays after 5...
Half price apps and taps
at Joe's. So if you've been wanting some of their great cheese dip or brisket nachos or Mexican pizza or the big sampler platter that's designed for the table, no one gave John Neighbors the memo. He just gets the sampler platter and goes to town on it.
Yeah. That are the brisket nachos.
I'm going to tell
big
you, though.
Big fan of those.
One thing that we don't talk about that makes Joe's just really sets them apart. The chips and salsa.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, it's just taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Just taken for granted.
Yeah.
The chips are thin and crispy. The salsa is really good. So you can start with that. And all the beers on tap are half price. So half price apps and taps tonight after 5 o'clock at Joe's Grill and Cantina. 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
Yeah, we know our own Matty T over here enjoyed some Joe's last night.
I actually did. I went for Taco Tuesday, and I think, am I tied with you right now, or did I beat you?
No, you tied me.
Okay,
I was impressed.
I don't know if I should be proud or embarrassed that to say I had eight tacos last night.
Listen.
But the chips are so good, and when they come out, they are fresh and hot. They make them up right there for you. So I also took some chips and salsa home with me.
Hey, no shame in that. No shame in
that. Love
Joe's. But yeah, I don't know. Eight tacos just is where I hit. I'm like, maybe I should slow down a little bit. But yeah, it's always great at Joe's. All right. What's your beef Wednesday? My beef today, since again, we're trying to make it Christmas themed for the most part, since we're not going to be able to do a What's Your Beef Wednesday next Wednesday. But here's my deal. And I'm going to call out, not just here in the state of Arkansas, but just in general, local news stations. Television stations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell you how to do your job. I think you all do a fine job. I think that all of you are trying to deliver the news on a local level, and you know, there's a lot of merit and value in all of that. So I'm not trying.
Boy, isn't that warm and fuzzy?
I know
what you just said.
Yeah, the compliment that I just gave them, they just put that on a plaque.
But
exactly. There's got to be a big but.
However,
we've got big buts here.
The stories that you all do every year. About around Christmas time, about this huge groundbreaking story, breaking news, if you will, that the malls are really crowded, makes no sense to me. We know that they're crowded because it's Christmas time. We know that people are shopping around Christmas time, but yet every year, you have to do a story. And make it into this big production where you send out reporters and they're asking people questions in lines. Like, well, what are you doing out here?
Well, I'm shopping. Why? Because I'm an idiot. Like, oh, okay. Well, next person, let's talk to you. All right. Like, I just don't understand why this has to be a story every year.
It's the breaking news. It's the leading news to start the newscast.
Yes, and I'm like, why? What we know?
It should be news if people weren't in the mall shopping, right?
Thank you. That would be the biggest story.
For the first year ever, people aren't shopping at Christmas.
Yeah, people are not at the mall. Like, that would be a bigger story. But on top of that, too, the other thing that bothers me, and I don't see this as much in Arkansas local news, but I'm sure somebody does it, is when they do the top 10 or the top 5, whatever, most dangerous toys for Christmas. Because it's like, I'll never forget it. This is a couple of years, about 5 years ago. They did a spot where they were talking about a Barney sleeping bag. You know, the big purple dinosaur Barney. And they're like, this is an extremely dangerous toy. Watch what happens when I put a blowtorch to it.
And I'm like, what happens when you set it on fire?
Yeah, I was like, wow. Who would have guessed that something would be set on fire because kids play with blowtorches all the time.
Yeah.
So they're going to set on fire. And it's like, watch out for these little micro machine cars because these are choking hazards. And I'm like, what kid is eating cars?
Yeah.
And especially at the age when they're given, they're like 5 and up.
That's a choking hazard for an adult.
Yes, exactly. It could be a choking hazard for anything. Yeah, maybe a stupid kid's trying to put them in their mouth and try to eat them.
It shows you how long that's been a thing on the news. Remember, in the 70s, there's a Dan Aykroyd Saturday Night Live bit where the whole thing is it's like bag of glass. You know what I mean? The dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the reason they did that skit is because people still do it today and about these dangerous toys. So I just don't understand why these are stories. I don't understand why you feel like there has to be some sort of like dangerous toys that parents need to be aware of. Like, and the thing is, I don't even think kids use toys that much anyways. It's all on iPads and whatnot, more or less. But anyways, I just, that's my beef today. I get tired of it. I don't understand why every year we have to deal with it as a story, but it is what it is.
Be careful. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah, with the BB gun. So, yeah, go back to those stories. Those are better stories. So that's my beef for today.
Why do people that operate restaurants, and particularly those at a drive-thru window or a waitress, think that when you want a Coke Zero, and they tell you, oh, but we have Diet Coke.
Well,
it's the same thing, right?
As though that is an acceptable substitute. That is my beef today. First world problem, but however, I don't know why restaurants can't figure this out. This is what the public wants. You like it, I like it, my wife likes it, Matty T. The world has gotten on board with Coke Zero. There are far too many restaurants out there that have not gotten the message yet. They think, we don't have another place on the soda fountain here for that. Well, take something off that nobody drinks, like Diet Coke.
Yes. I don't know why we are even discussing still having Diet Coke.
Nothing irritates me more. It's not the fact that you don't have it. It's the fact that you look at me and say, oh, but we have Diet Coke, as though, with a smile on your face, as though that is an acceptable substitute.
Is that as bad as saying, oh, well, we have Pepsi?
Just give me a water. Yeah. And you just missed out on the $2.49 I would have spent. That would have been, by the way, all profit for you. Because you didn't have Coke Zero. Just give me a water.
Is it the same, though? Is it worse when they say, is Pepsi okay?
I can't drink Diet Coke anymore, but Pepsi? Huh. Give me two waters.
Give me water with some nails in it before I start drinking that. No, I'm
y'all
the same way.
I know because I know y'all are fans of the Coke Zero, too.
Yeah. Coke Zeros.
And then you go into a restaurant, I like a Coke Zero. Oh, we hit a Diet Coke? Oh. No. It's not the same thing.
Go kick rocks.
Yeah.
I like that Coke's marketing campaign really worked out. We're still calling it Coke Zero when, 2 years ago, it changed to Coke Zero Sugar.
Well,
it didn't work.
Coke Zero is just an easier thing to say.
And then don't try to be the one of these sly guys over here that just tells me okay on the Coke Zero and then puts Diet Coke in there.
Ooh, yeah, don't do that.
Know the difference.
There's no fooling Tommy.
Yeah, you'll know. Well, and here's the other thing, too. And I know we've talked about this since we're on Coke Zero. I don't understand how McDonald's, the number one fast food restaurant in the entire world, has Coke products.
Yeah.
But not Coke Zero.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Wendy's does. Hardee's does.
I'm pretty sure even Burger King but I have to double check. I don't get it.
I will not go to some of these places because they don't have it.
Yeah.
That's how sad of an existence I live.
Yeah.
We have Coke freestyle machines now everywhere. Like, Wendy's has a freestyle. You got everything. Yeah. And you can't have Coke Zero?
Yeah, you're McDonald's for crying out loud. You're the
Wendy's
number one company.
Wendy's and Hardee's does it.
You have Coke products. You can't have Coke Zero. It doesn't make sense.
One reason I don't go to, there are certain convenience stores and certain fast food restaurants and certain restaurants I won't go to because they don't have it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want.
Yep. And if you have it, that's like, oh, well, I know that I'm going to get a nice, crisp, cold Coke Zero when I go to this place. I'm with you, Tommy.
Yeah.
I'm glad we are a Coke Zero show
yep.
here on the Morning Rush. We are all about Coke Zero. So, all right, Matty T, what do you got?
Well, this is something every year, you know, without fail, it'll happen when you're at your family Christmas party. I noticed in the past weekend when I was at one of these company parties for a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
it's people that insist on talking about politics at holiday
yeah.
events. And I don't care which side you're on
it
with
anything.
It never
ends well, does
but
it?
But it's like, really, you know what I mean? And I know in your head, it all makes sense to you. And, you know, everybody should agree with everything, your opinion. But it's not the
as
time
as long as
the
you
place.
Agree with me, you're not an idiot.
Exactly. And that's what it is. So half your family is going to be standing there uncomfortable while you go on and on about basically having a Facebook argument in the middle of the kitchen mm-hmm. on Christmas. So that's my biggest beef is, and my advice, no matter what your opinion is, you feel strongly about it, you haven't seen your family all year, this is not the way to welcome yourself mm-hmm. back into the family about talking about politics
every year
on Jesus' birthday.
And that's like, it's like, that's this thing. It's like, I don't understand.
That's always the ultimate trump card on right. Christmas. You're going to, I've heard my wife do this when the kids misbehave. You're going to misbehave like this on Jesus' birthday. I mean, that's like the ultimate trump card. Yep. There's no coming back. There is no reply that you can.
There's no rebuttal.
That say, well, yeah, but my behavior is justified.
Nope.
On Jesus' birthday, you're going to act like this?
You got nothing.
You got nothing. I mean, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Over.
Yep.
But I've already thought about it. It's like, I know, next week there's going to be. I already know who it's going to be.
Matty T laying down that card.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to talk politics on Jesus' birthday at the dinner table?
Mm-hmm.
And you just hear me just making these passive-aggressive like noise, like, oh, here we go.
How's that pecan pie looking over there? Somebody give me a knife.
That's why you just make sure that everyone in your family is on the same political side.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They all share my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Luckily, I will say this on that. I'm blessed with my family. Yeah. We're all on the same side, so we never have to bring it up.
Just surround yourself with people that agree with you.
Exactly. That's the best way to live life, right? By the way, a few people are texting in. JP and Alma says, my beef is people saying happy holidays. It's Christmas. Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If you're offended, get over it. So that's what he feels like. Jackson Harrison says, if you're going to go to Mickey D's, talking about McDonald's, might as well just have a regular Coke anyways. You already lost your calorie count. Yeah,
it's like, I'll have a Big Mac, you know, a large fry, and a Diet Coke, please.
Yeah, a gallon of Diet Coke.
The double quarter pounder, upsize of fries, and a Diet Coke. Watching what I eat.
Robert in Cedarville says, if I ask for a Sprite, don't slide me a Sierra Mist. They don't make Sierra Mist anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Do they? I thought they replaced it with something else. Devin in Plainview says, do you really think McDonald's is concerned enough about your health to have Coke Zero?
Well, they have Diet Coke.
They better be concerned about my money.
If you like Diet Coke, fine, have both. I'm just asking you to have both.
Options is what we want.
You know how big the
straw... option I want. Yeah. That's the one I want you to have.
McDonald's has the giant straws, too, so they really want you drinking a lot of soda there.
Guzzle it down, baby. Mm-hmm. Diabetes on the way.
Yeah, and you know what's great about it is I used to be a big fan of the Monopoly game when they would have it at McDonald's. And
I'm such a sucker for that.
I'm telling you, I don't think your mother has made anything as glorious as a McDonald's french fry. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's there's nothing that is better than that. So, just have Coke Zero. Listen, we were talking about Joe's earlier. They got Coke Zero. They wised up. They knew.
Well, we had to have a long talk over there. We got it straightened out.
Tommy Kraft is the reason why. That was what happened.
Had to pound a fist on a table or two, but we got it done.
Got it done. So, it says, this is from 4-9-9. John, they replaced Sierra Mist with Twist Mist.
Oh, really?
And now they have brought Sierra Mist back. Okay.
Is that a Pepsi product?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Like, what? Like, the only thing Pepsi products ever put together was Mountain Dew. The only thing I give them credit for. I do like some Mountain Dew. But anyways, if you have any other beefs, folks, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. What's that?
That's kind of funny.
Jesus did technically flip over a table and chase guys with a whip.
Sounds like Christmas last year at our
I'd say, well, maybe that's where
the spirit for
the
season.
Yeah, the spirit comes from that. Maybe that's the case. So...
Did your mother ever pull that one out on Christmas on either one of you guys?
No.
No.
I feel like I've heard it before. Yeah.
You're going to act like that?
Yeah. I think my mom, I think my parents almost felt like it was almost too much to even say that.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's such a sacred thing that you don't want to come out and start playing that card. Because if you play the card, then people are going to start resenting it every single year. It's like, hold on a second. What? If, so you're allowed to act up. You're allowed to do what you want. But as a kid, I can't do what I want, and you're just going to play that card kid on me? Yeah, I'm the kid. Yeah. JT in Hot Springs texted in. He says, stores that have Christmas sales, now that it's a week before Christmas, they drop the price on something I bought 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But they usually do the price. Some places will
price match. They'll give you that money, the difference back.
Yeah. I don't
keep up with that receipt. To me, it better be a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money if I'm going to go in there and hassle with it.
Like, you're talking
20
about
bucks ain't going to get me back out. And, well, you know, they got me.
No.
I'm not exactly carrying around ads with me all the time either.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you're going to go in there and fight the horrible traffic and the amount of people, I'm with you, Tommy. It's got to be worth some serious dough if we're going to go that route.
I better be getting like 50 bucks back, $100 back. I'm not going all the way and finding a parking spot and going in for 25 bucks.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas shopping, you know, some people are smart enough to do it early. I'm not.
I was out yesterday again. By the way, another beef is, you know, the ladies that are in there, you're used to doing this kind of shopping. Give guys like me a little bit of space. You know, it's like I'm trying to think about, I swear, the same lady was like on my butt the entire, it's like, I was on the other side of the store. It's like, how do you keep coming up behind? It's like, I'm not in your way. You are following me around the store. It's like, I'm trying to think.
These professional shoppers.
Right. It's like, look, this is all foreign territory for me. I need my space. I need to think.
I know. And also these women, because there's this girl that I'm talking to now. She has it to where she enjoys, like takes pleasure in Christmas shopping with large crowds.
Oh.
And I'm like, that.
You need to. I like rethink things. Who takes pleasure in large crowds?
I don't know, but I'm like, listen, if I ever had to
That's a red flag, John.
If I had to ever go to HE double hockey sticks and the devil's like, I'm going to give you an internal punishment, that would probably be what would do, like, just be
just
my
never-ending.
Just never-ending crowds at events and shopping and stuff where I'm trying to get stuff done. Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't understand that. But some people are just wired differently. It was all about shopping and shopping on Christmas. Not for me.
Red flag.
So there's What's Your Beef Wednesday again. If you want to get in on it, call or text Cherokee Casino Hotline 877-377-6963.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Zero A National Signing Day today, and there's going to be a lot of things going on in college football, and there's still a lot of things to be said and be had about Arkansas football, especially when it comes to some coaching hires. And to continue to talk about it a little bit, let's welcome in Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com. Andrew, as always, appreciate you joining us. But before we get started, I have to know a very important fact if we're going to continue on this interview. If someone is giving you a steak and they ask you how well you want it cooked, what do you tell them?
I usually go with medium.
Okay. All right. Except fair. We couldn't allow anybody that would want well done
We have a theory that we're hearing the Chip Long interview didn't go well, that maybe if he was the one at the Ruth's Chris with him, maybe he ordered it well done and that just ended the whole deal.
I don't want it well done. That's burnt.
Yeah, right.
No, thank you.
That's our theory, is maybe Chip Long ordered a steak well done and Sam Pittman said, all right, we're through. We're done.
That was what ended up ending it. So, but Andrew, it's always good to have you on.
We're not going to consummate this deal over a well done steak.
No, it's always good to have you on, and we won't talk about steak the entire time. We may bring it back up. But, you know, today it's obviously an early signing period has not been very kind to Arkansas. Since in the past 3 years, we know that when Chad Morris came in the transition, it was tough for him to get a class together. It's going to be the same way with Sam Pittman. So my basic question for you right now is the early signing period and how they have it set up in college football still a good thing? Should it still stay the way it is, or should it be changed? Because sometimes I got to remember, I may be looking at it from the Arkansas perspective, but from the college football perspective, is the early signing period a great thing for the sport?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, there's different ways to look at it. I know, look at it for me personally as a reporter who has to cover it, it's not exactly ideal to be having to do this a week before Christmas. There's all sorts of other things I would rather be doing. But I think from maybe like a fan perspective, I think it's exciting. I mean, it's just another day to look forward to. If you're not playing in a bowl game, which unfortunately for Arkansas has become relatively common, these last few years. You know, it gives you something to look forward to before February. You can kind of get some of your big time prospects locked in, and you know, then be able to focus in on maybe the tougher, you know, recruiting battles, so to speak. You know, but that's if you have a normal recruiting cycle. As you mentioned, two of the 3 years now that they've had an early signing period, Arkansas's had a coaching change, which makes it just right. absolutely brutal. Only have a couple of weeks to get something together. So it's always going to be tough when you have a new coach, whether it's, you know, at Arkansas or Missouri or wherever it is, Ole Miss, it's going to be a challenge. But maybe if you can, you know, get some guys locked in like Chad did his second year, get them already on board. You don't have to worry about them flipping down the stretch. Then you can focus all your efforts in closing on, you know, whoever else is left. So I think it can be a good thing if you're a school like Arkansas, where you have to always worry about schools coming in at the last second and stealing your recruits away. That happened quite a bit the last few years, whenever it was just February. It always seemed like there was one or two guys that were flipping away from Arkansas. Maybe if you can get them locked in before then they stick. It's just really hard when you're going through a coaching change.
So if it's truly about the student-athlete, and that's what the mission statement says it's about the student-athletes, right? So wouldn't it be in the student-athlete's best interest to maybe sign in, like, August rather than December? I know the coaches like it in December because it protects them and it protects, you know, against injury and a kid not, you know, going 100% in his senior season perhaps. But wouldn't the best interest of the student-athlete be a early signing period before the high school season?
Yeah, I kind of thought that whenever it was announced. I mean, it seems silly to me to have it literally 2 months before, yeah. Less than 2 months before the other one. It just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. I would do it, like you said, in August. That way you get it out of the way before, you know, your senior season of high school. You get locked in, so that way maybe if you suffer some type of injury or something like that, schools can't be like, oh, no, well, your offer's no good anymore. You know, it protects you from that. I agree. I think it should be in August just to get it over with ahead of the season, maybe even late July. That way, you know, schools get it out of the way before fall camp starts, definitely before the high school football season starts. I think would make a lot more sense. Then you don't have, you know, families like to be at these events for signing days, that it's Christmas time, like, yeah. I mentioned, and people are out of town, and that sometimes prevents people from signing. I think that's what happened to, I want to say, Hudson Henry this past class. You know, he didn't sign early, but it was just because all of his family wasn't in town and able to attend.
Speaking with Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com right now on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casano Hotline. Andrew, just as far as what it's looking like for Sam Pittman right now and some of the assistant coaches, we're starting to get some more words on a few other guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that what they're looking at. What can you do for the latest in the coaching search, or at least the assistant coaching search for Arkansas, and who are some of the people they're looking at in those positions that they have yet to fill?
Well, it seems like they've added a couple more coaches yesterday. A guy from the JUCO ranks, I believe his name is Ryan Rhodes. He comes from Hutchinson Community College, a great name of a school right there. He's been there since, I believe, 2007. He actually played for Sam Pittman at Hutchinson Community College back in the early 90s. That was Pittman's last head coaching job. Seems like he's going to come on board and be a linebackers coach. So that's another head coach, granted from JUCO ranks, but it's the Jayhawk Conference, all those Kansas JUCOs, everyone's seen Last Chance U and everything, but those schools produce a ton of talent. Arkansas has actually already offered a couple of guys that were at Hutchinson Community College this past year, so I think it's an interesting add from a recruiting standpoint, plus it's a way for Arkansas to maybe save some money. I think that guy was making less than $90,000 a year as the Hutch Community College head coach. He could triple his salary, and Arkansas would still be saving a little bit of money, you know, from that $5 million rough pool for assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. Then they've also added another guy who could probably also save them some money, and Sam Carter, he was a staffer at Missouri, so he's familiar with Barry Odom. So he's going to be, it looks like, the cornerback's coach. He's a guy that, you know, just, I guess, 5-6 years ago was a very, very good football player, a safety at TCU. So he's a young guy, so maybe he can recruit well, relate well to the recruits from that standpoint, but it's also another way to maybe save some money because you hope there's going to be a decent amount of money left over to hire a really good offensive coordinator, which seems to be the thing we're all kind of waiting on.
So who do you think it will be, and when do you think that will be announced? Because that seems like the next big shoe to drop is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I would think that an offensive coordinator would be announced or at least start trickling out in the next couple of days. Probably not today because they're going to be all worried, tied up with signing day, things like that. I thought they might get it out before then to maybe help with the recruiting trail. But then again, he was probably using all of his free time and talking with recruits and trying to shore up the class. So I would expect it to be in the next couple of days. And, I mean, the names that I'm hearing are the names everyone seems to be hearing. You know, Major Applewhite, the former Houston head coach. Chip Long at Notre Dame, y'all mentioned him earlier. You know, he was the guy that seemed to be interested, but maybe not. Then Brent Dierman is an interesting name from Kansas. He's a young guy who has come up through. He had worked under Gus Malzahn for a couple of years as like an analyst or something a couple of years back, and Kansas had some really big offensive outbursts, against Texas Tech this year. Seems to be kind of a rising star in the profession. So there's some names out there, but it seems like he's probably going to really narrow down on it over the next few days after he gets a signing class behind him.
Andrew, some of the names you mentioned as offensive coordinator, do any of them you favor personally? Just you think that they would be a better fit, do a better job, or would you be happy with all of them? What's your thought on some of the names as far as offensive coordinators have gone?
Yeah, I think Brent Dierman is very intriguing just because, as I said, he's kind of a rising star. He might be a guy that could be really, really good, but you also wonder if maybe the floor is also lower on him than some of these other guys. Kendall Briles was a name I didn't mention earlier. He's a name that's also been floated out there. I think he would be, very good. He seems to have had success pretty much at every stop he's had except for Florida State, but that was kind of a broken program when he got there, which, maybe Arkansas is too, so maybe that wouldn't be the best fit. But also Major Applewhite, I really like him from the standpoint of being a former head coach. You've already got Barry Odom, former head coach. I mentioned the JUCO head coach. To add another head coach to help Sam, just to help Sam Pittman with, the adjustment, never being a head coach at the FBS level, I think would be beneficial. Plus, he's got all the recruiting ties to Texas, which is still really important for Arkansas, even though Chad Morris is gone.
So looking at just the rest of the recruiting class, too, Andrew, it seems like that since the early signing period, not to say it's going to be a total waste or a wash, but these first recruiting classes are always tough. Do you still believe, though, that there will be enough time, enough effort put in, to be able to make it to where the regular signing period could be a successful one for Arkansas? Is there enough players that are going to be out there for Sam Pittman to try to get him to sign to where the final class won't be dead last in the SEC type of deal?
Oh, I'm not sure what Vanderbilt, Missouri are doing right now to be able to say if they're going to be dead last or not. But it's going to be a challenge. It really is. Cause I think I saw stats last year or the year before where something like 70%, 75% of all student athletes signed during the early signing period. That doesn't leave a lot of guys to find. They're really going to have to go find, I know some Arkansas fans don't like to hear, but they're really going to have to go find the diamonds in the rough type of guys and hopefully land on a couple of those. Really, they just need to get a class in here to be able to have numbers for the next year's class. That's something that I'm kind of concerned about. If they get a bunch of transfers, which luckily they haven't had a ton, Nick Starkle's left the program and a couple others. But if they have a ton of mass exodus, like we've seen in the last couple of years under Chad Morris, then it could be really difficult for them to get to 85 scholarships. And then you're operating at a deficit. And that has not gone well for a place like Kansas the last decade. That's obviously doomsday scenario. But really, you got to maintain the 85 scholarships, yep, even if everyone they bring in this class isn't a superstar.
All right, so along those lines, with the lack of retention, and I don't know how many guys have left eligible, where does Arkansas start entering the danger zone on the APR score? Because we know it's a rolling four-year average, And, Andrew, there's been so much turnover under Chad Morris, and now there may be some more. Won't the APR score be in somewhat of a danger zone for this football program?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but I know that that is something that's factored in. I think maybe, you know, it depends on if the players are leaving in good academic standing. You hope that's the case. You know, some of them have left as graduate transfers. You know, Ty Story was a graduate transfer to Michael Petway. So hopefully those guys all left in good academic standing. But yeah, I mean, it's probably going to take a hit. Luckily, that's one thing Brett Bielema did really well is build up that APR to historic highs at Arkansas. People don't like hearing that, but that's really good. It kind of gives them a little bit of wiggle room where if they do take a hit for a couple of years, as you said, it's a four-year average. Maybe they should hopefully be able to sustain it and be above the cutoff line for the NCAA.
Yeah, because there are penalties that come along with falling below, what is it, 925, I think is the number. But you get a point for retention and a point for eligibility. And, you know, I just know there's been a lot of players leave and you lose that retention point.
Yeah, it could be interesting to see how it plays out, but that's going to be something we don't know the full impact on for a couple of years because they are, I think it's like a year behind when the scores are averaged out.
Well, Andrew, just to switch gears a little bit, I want to talk to you about this Razorback basketball team. They had a really impressive game against Tulsa over the weekend. They got two non-conference games left in the non-conference slate, I guess, including the TCU game in the middle of conference play, but then it gets revved up. They open up a conference play against Texas A&M at home. Texas A&M is not a very good basketball team. It just seems like this is setting up that this could be, as crazy as it is, could be an NCAA tournament team in year one under Eric Musselman. Are you getting that vibe? Do you believe that this is an NCAA tournament team right now?
You know, the way they're playing, it's hard not to think that. I'm still trying my best to be skeptical, to play devil's advocate and say, you know, they still haven't played the heart of their schedule. It'll get tougher in the SEC, but then I see the rest of the SEC not doing exactly what we all expected them to do. You know, you mentioned Texas A&M not being very good. That's being kind. They are terrible. I think they were like 281 in the NET rating that came out this past week. So that should be a win for Arkansas, especially being at home. I'm not sure. I want to see how they do in the SEC play, but you think if they can finish up, you know, 10-2 in non-conference play, you know, that's with the loss at Indiana. But if they could beat Indiana, which Indiana doesn't look, it looks like a winnable game, they would be in really good position where they just really probably need to go, 10-8 in SEC play, and that gets them up to 20 wins. And you're right there, maybe making the NCAA tournament in year one, which is something I did not expect at all. I thought they were going to be an NIT team at best. But sure enough, Eric Musselman has worked wonders, and they definitely look a lot better than I was expecting them to look.
So how good is the SEC? Because right now some of the early returns on some of the non-conference games leaves me questioning the quality of the league. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I'm starting to question the quality of the league as well. I mean, Kentucky doesn't even look as dominant as you would expect a Kentucky team to look. They came in at like 58 or something in the NET rating. This past week, Arkansas was 23rd, and that was second in the conference behind Auburn. So that means Auburn's the only other top 25 team right now in that all-important metric. So I don't think it's as good as we all thought it was going to be, but I don't necessarily think it's as bad as it was a few years ago before the conference really ramped up its efforts to get good in basketball again.
So is it good or bad for Arkansas if the conference isn't as great? Because to me, it gives them an opportunity to get to that 10-8 record type of deal in SEC play, but at the same time, you want to have some quality wins. What does Arkansas need from the SEC this year in basketball?
I think it just needs it to be average. I think last year it was a very good conference. This year it's average, and as you said, it gives them an opportunity to win some games and get to that maybe 20-win mark or something, 21 wins, to get them in that conversation. Whereas I think if it was last year's SEC or the year before's SEC, then Arkansas would really be having a hard time getting to the necessary win total to be even in the conversation to make the NCAA tournament. So I think it's good for Arkansas, but then again, it's probably if they do just get the 20 wins and the league is average, then they're probably not going to get a great seed. But I think it, at this point, Arkansas fans would just take making NCAA tournament year one. Yeah. I think that would be a phenomenal thing for Eric Musselman.
Yeah, if you had to go to Dayton and do the play-in game, you'd be happy with that right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
you take that all day long. All right, Andrew, real quick before we let you get out of here, I got to ask you this because we've been having some fun with this today. Christmas is a great time. It's a great holiday. Everyone enjoys it. But everyone has something that they hate about the holiday. What is the one thing that you hate the most about Christmas?
Probably having to get out and shop amongst all the madness because I'm one of those people that puts it off and, you know, having to scramble near the end, especially with having a newborn baby, has really delayed things this year. And I think I'm almost done shopping, and I'm really dreading having to get out and finish this up here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, well, no, that's pretty much where everyone usually lies is just the hatred of the shopping and the dealing with people and traffic. It's just a nightmare for everybody. But
yeah,
it's a great time of year, but everybody's got something that they hate about the Christmas holiday. Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at NWA Hutch. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll be catching up with you, all right?
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
I appreciate it, man. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.